This story takes place a long time ago in Eretz Israel. We go to a small stone house. And in front of that stone house is a very special, big, beautiful tree. This is what the story is about. This big, beautiful tree. On this tree grew rimoinim, pomegranates, one of the Shiva Saminim. And these pomegranates were so big and so delicious. Everybody loved those rimoinim to eat them. How would they eat those rimoinim? Well, this is what happened. The family that lived in the house was the family of Reb Nissim. He was the man that lived in the house. He was the man that lived in the house with his wife in Kenelach. Now, Kenelach, this tree had such delicious, big, beautiful rimoinim, and so many, that Reb Nissim was able to take care of his family and make parnasa for a whole year just selling his rimoinim. Every summer, he and his sons would go in front of the house. He and his sons would go in front of the house, climb up the tree, and start picking the rimoinim. Some of them you could pick from the ground. Some of them you had to climb up branches. And they got so many, the family would eat some of them, and people would come and line up in front of the house and say, "We want to buy Reb Nissim's rimoinim. They're the best." And they would pay money. And Reb Nissim would save up the money, and of course he would give tzedakah, and he would have money for a whole year just from selling rimoinim from one tree. And this is how it went year after year. There was such a wonderful bracha in that tree. Until it came one summer, and it was time to go out and pick the pomegranates. And Reb Nissim and his sons go outside, and they look at the tree. "Tati, there's nothing to pick on the tree. Where are all of the rimoinim?" "Yes," one of the sons said, "this year we didn't see pomegranates growing. What's going on? We don't even see one." The tree looked empty. And this was the time the rimoinim should have been ripe and ready to pick. There was not one. There was not two or three. Nothing on the whole tree that they could see. Very strange. "How are we going to make a living this year? How will we have parnasa? What will we sell?" And the people came to the house to buy rimoinim. "Sorry, we have nothing to give you." "But we have money, we want to buy rimoinim." "Sorry, we have no rimoinim." Very strange. And the Tati said, "What's going on? Not even one?" And he told his son, one of his sons, "Climb up to the very top of the tree, because there are certain places that we can't see from the ground. You can't see all around. Go to the very top and see. Maybe something is growing on top of the tree." And the son climbed up all the branches until he got to the very top. And he said, "Tati," or "Abba, Tati, you know what's up here? 3 rimoinim on the very top of the tree. But not only 3 rimoinim, they're gigantic. They're bigger than any rimoinim we've ever had on this tree. And they're more beautiful. But there's only 3. On top of the tree, we're only 3. And the Tati said to his son, "Pick the rimoinim and bring them down. And the son picked the three remaining, and he brings them down. And the whole family gathered together. Look at those remaining. They're so big and beautiful. Isn't that strange? On the whole tree, there's nothing. And only on the top, there's three pomegranates, and they're so beautiful. This is a very strange thing this year. Well, what could they do? That's what happened. This is what they did. It was now Erev Shabbos, and the Tati said, two of the remoinim we are going to enjoy on Shabbos. We're going to eat from the remoinim on Shabbos. Shh. And Tati, what about the third pomegranate? And the Tati said, I'm going to put away the third pomegranate for Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat is the new year for trees. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. And we should eat from the pomegranate on Tu Bishvat. We're going to save it till then. And he carefully put away the third remoin and the other two the family had on Shabbos. And they tasted not only delicious, extra, extra, super delicious. They were so good. Well, Kinalach, after that Shabbos, the Tati, Reb Nissim, began to think, what will we do for money this year? What will we do for Parnassa? We have no remoinim to sell, and we need money for the family. Well, the Tati went out to try to get a job. It wasn't easy to get a job. He couldn't find work. No work, no pay. No pay, no money. No money to buy things. And he went here and he went there. Each day he tried to find a way to make some money. Oy vey, the time is going on. And we need money. Well, he was borrowing some money. But if you borrow money, what mitzvah do you have if you borrow money? What do you have to do?
Pay them back. Pay them back.
You have to pay back the money. Well, where will I get money to pay back? One night, Reb Nissim's wife said, Nissim, maybe you have to go outside of Eretz Yisrael to different places in order either to work to make money or just to ask people to give you money. Reb Nissim said, I don't want to go and ask people for money. I don't want to become a beggar. Well, what should we do? We need money. Why can't I make money here in Eretz Yisrael? But you've been trying, and nothing has helped, nothing is working. You're davening to Hashem, but it doesn't seem that here is the place that you'll be able to make the money. The bracha is not happening here. Maybe you should go outside of Eretz Yisrael. Reb Nissim said, but I was never outside of Eretz Yisrael. My whole life I've only been in Eretz Yisrael. And besides, it will be an embarrassment, a shame for Eretz Yisrael. Because if I go and stick out my hand and say, please give me money, and the people will say, where do you come from? Oh, I come from Eretz Yisrael. What? You mean Hashem's special place? You can't get money there. You have to leave and come outside of Eretz Yisrael, and here you'll get money? How will it look like, how will it look that people will say, in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem's special place, the man can't make money, and he has to come here? It might be an embarrassment for Eretz Yisrael. Reb Nissim said, I decide, with Hashem's help, this. I will have to go and leave home. I will go to faraway places outside of Eretz Yisrael, but I will not tell anybody where I'm from. Nobody will know. It'll be a secret. And then Reb Nissim's wife said, but wait a minute. If you go someplace and ask for money and you say you're from Eretz Yisrael, it's a special mitzvah to give poor people in Eretz Yisrael. Now we're poor people in Eretz Yisrael. We have become poor. It's a special mitzvah. No, no, no. I don't want people to give me because it's a special mitzvah for poor people in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to embarrass Eretz HaKodesh. I will go, but it'll be a secret. So Kinalach, Reb Nissim packed up his stuff and he said goodbye to the Kinalach and bye to his wife. And his wife said, Nissim, you don't know how long you'll be away. You might be away for a long time. Why don't you take the third pomegranate that you put away for Tu B'Shvat? Because if you're away, and you'll be away by Tu B'Shvat, so you could have the Rimoin. He says, no, no, no. You and the children should have the Rimoin here. And they said, the Kinalach said, no, Tati, you take it. You take it with you. And his wife said, yes, we all agree. You should take the pomegranate and put it in your bag. And so, Kinalach, Reb Nissim, took his Rimoin and he put it in his bag and he left for faraway places trying to find work, trying to get money, or just asking for it by putting out his hand and telling people, I have a family, I have children, we need money. Can you give us please some money? And this is what he did. And he went begging from place to place. Please, could I have money for my family? We have no parnasa. Oh, where are you from? I come from far away. And they would give him a little bit of money. And he would go to another town. Please, my wife and children are hungry. Could you please give us some money to help us to buy food and things we need? Where are you from? I come from a faraway place. Okay, here's some money. And he went from place to place, week after week, month after month, because he wanted to get enough money to take home. And he didn't get too much money yet. Finally, he came to a place called Turkey, and he came to a city in Turkey called Koshta. It happened to be Tu B'Shvat, the day that Reb Nissim came to Koshta, Turkey. It happened to be the 15th day of Shvat, the new year for the trees, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanos. And Kinalach, Reb Nissim was both sad and happy because sad, he has to go begging from place to place, and he misses his family, and he wishes he was back in Eretz Yisrael. And he's happy because it's Tu B'Shvat, it's a special day. And also, what did he have in his bag that he had taken just for that day?
Food.
Well, he had food. And what else did he have? Special food. What kind of special food did he have? What did he have?
A rimoin.
A rimoin, a pomegranate, the one from his special tree. Reb Nissim now goes to the shul, to daven. And he walks into the shul, and all of a sudden he sees a very strange thing that you do not see on Tu B'Shvat. People were crying. People were sobbing. They were saying to Tehillim. It was a sight like Tisha B'Av, not like Tu B'Shvat. Everybody was crying and davening from their heart. It was like something terrible had happened. What in the world is going on? And Reb Nissim asked somebody, why is everybody crying on Tu B'Shvat? Why is everybody saying Tehillim? What's going on? The men were in the men's part of the shul, and the ladies were in the vibrant shul, and everybody was saying Tehillim and crying. And this is what the man said to Reb Nissim. The man said, don't you know what just happened in the Sultan's palace? Now the Sultan is the king in Turkey. He's called the Sultan. The Sultan's son, the prince, got sick. And the doctors gave medicine, and the medicine did not work. And the Sultan's son, the prince, is getting worse and worse. Until, just this morning, the doctors reported that the son of the Sultan will die if he does not receive some kind of special help from a special doctor. Because all the doctors in Turkey and from all around that were called to the Sultan's palace have not been able to help the prince. And it was announced that he will die. But one of the officers of the Sultan told the Sultan there's a last chance that the son could live. And this is what he told the Sultan. The best doctors are found by the Jews. Tell the Jews that they have to send a doctor immediately with medicine for the prince. Or else every Jew is going to be chased out of his house or chas v'shalom killed. Ken Allah, the Sultan had made a decree against the Jews that if they don't help the prince on that day, and if chas v'shalom the prince dies, passes away, the king is going to take it out on the Jews, and they're in great danger, and that's why they're crying and saying Tehillim. They're asking Hashem to help from the terrible gzeira. And kinalach, Reb Nissim also picked up a Tehillim and started to say Tehillim to join with the other Yidden. All of a sudden, the Rav, who was sitting in front of the shul, started smelling the air. All of a sudden, he stopped saying Tehillim and he starts smelling the air. And he says to his shamish, who was next to him, there is a guest in this shul from Eretz Yisrael. Please go find him. I would like to give him shalom aleichem. He has just come into the shul in the last few minutes because I did not smell this smell until a few minutes ago. And the shamish turned around and he noticed there was a stranger sitting in the shul. Of course, who was that stranger?
Reb Nissim.
Reb Nissim. And the shamish went over to Reb Nissim. You must be the guest from Eretz Yisrael. The Rav would like to give you shalom aleichem. And of course, Reb Nissim, did he tell anybody he's from Eretz Yisrael? No. How did anybody know that he is from Eretz Yisrael? And he goes over to the Rav, and the Rav stands up, Shalom Aleichem, an important guest from Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Nissim says, how in the world did you know that I'm from Eretz Yisrael? I didn't tell anybody. The Rav said, in the past few minutes, I smelled a special smell, and the only time I ever smelled that smell was when I was in Eretz Yisrael. So I knew somebody must be here from Eretz Yisrael. At first, Reb Nissim thought, what is this? Is this Ruach HaKodesh? Is this something special? But all of a sudden he remembered, wait a minute. In my bag, I have my rimoin. What's a rimoin again?
Pomegranate.
That's right. Reb Nissim had his pomegranate in his bag, and he says, it must be my pomegranate, my rimoin from Eretz Yisrael, has a special smell. That must be what the Rav smells. And the Rav says, you have a rimoin from Eretz Yisrael? You have a pomegranate? And Kinalach, in this faraway place, they did not have rimoinim. They did not have pomegranates. It was an exciting thing to get the fruit, the pomegranate fruit. It was a very exciting thing because these came from Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the Shiva Saminim, and you could not get it in Turkey. The Rav said, you have a rimoin? It's been years since I saw a rimoin. And Reb Nissim said, why don't you share my rimoin? It came from my tree in Eretz Yisrael. I'll be glad to share it with you. No, the Rav said, how can I eat a rimoin which will make me so happy if now we're in such a very dangerous time with the decree of the Sultan? Wait a minute. All of a sudden, the Rav is holding his head. He's putting his hands on his head. He said, something just flashed in my mind. Something just flashed in my mind. The Rav said, just before we heard about the decree, I was learning a sefer for Tu B'Shvat about the Shiva Saminim, the special fruits from Eretz Yisrael. And it was telling all kinds of different things from fruits from the Shiva Saminim. It was telling even secrets of the Torah, and it was talking about rimoinim, different things, and different things the letters mean. And all of a sudden, it flashed in my mind the letters of rimoinim. Now, you know what the letters of rimoinim are? Resh, Mem, Vav, Nun, Yud, Shlas Mem. Rimoinim, pomegranates. And the Rav said, these words came into my mind. The resh is for refuah. Refuah means, you know, healing, getting better from sickness. The mem is for melech. The refuah of the melech, of the king, the vav uvnoi, and his son. The refuah for the sultan, who is the king, and his son. Nun, Nissim. Nun is for the name Nissim. Now it seems, Kinalach, that Reb Nissim had told him his name. So he put the Nun together with Nissim. Yud Yaviah will bring it. And then the Shlas Mem Mehera. Refuas Melech Uvnoi. The refuah, the getting better, the healing of the king and his son. Nissim Yavia Mehera. Nissim will bring it very quickly. Those are the letters of rimoinim. He says, maybe this rimoin, the pomegranate that you have, will be able to help the son of the sultan, because you have brought a rimoin from Eretz Yisrael. Kinalach, they had nothing to lose. The Rav said, let's give it a try. We're going to the palace of the Sultan with your pomegranate. And all of a sudden now, they take the bag that Reb Nissim brought from Eretz Yisrael with a rimoin and the Rav, and they're going to the palace of the Sultan carrying the rimoin from Eretz Yisrael. And they go to the palace, and they say, we have a special medicine for the Sultan's son. And they say, you better hurry quickly. He is almost gone. And they bring him in. And of course the Sultan is there. And Mrs. Sultan is there. And all the officers and everybody. And they're all crying. And in the middle is the bed with the boy. And he's laying very still. They say, "We have a special thing. Let's give it right now to the son of the king." And they open up his mouth. And they open the remoin. And they take out the seeds. And they squeeze the juicy into his mouth. And the juicy goes into the mouth of the prince. And can you figure out what is going to happen to the prince? Otherwise, what's the whole story going to be anyway? But this is what the story says. What do you think is going to happen?
He became better.
He became better. He opened up his eyes. The color came back into his face. He sat up in bed. He looked around. I feel good. I feel good. I feel much better. And everybody was, of course, astonished. You know what that means? So surprised. Look, look, the Jews did help. The Jews did help. They were so happy. And the Sultan says, "Who is this man? Is he a special doctor? Bring him to me. I want to reward him." And Kenalach, Reb Nissim, introduced himself. And the king said, "Bring bags of gold and give it to this man as a reward." And they brought bags of gold, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of gold. And they gave it to Reb Nissim. Now, do you remember the beginning of the story? Reb Nissim had to leave because he had no money. And he was going around begging just for money for his family. What does he have now? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, Kenalach. And he took it back to Eretz Yisrael. And he gave stuck at the poor people. And the family had money. And the next year, do you know what happened to his tree? It didn't just have three remoinim, like that strange year. You know what happened the next year?
It had millions.
Well, I don't know millions, but had a lot of remoinim, just like all the time. The tree was full of remoinim. And of course, they saw the Ashkaka Pratis that one year that it didn't have remoinim. He was forced to leave. He had to go away. Everything seemed so terrible. And in the end, of course, Hashem helped. And it was so good. And that's the story for Tu B'Shvat. Oh. Reb Zusha and Reb Elimelech have a third brother that we never probably heard about in any story. Yes, there's a third brother. And then one day, talking about their third brother. I don't know his name. It doesn't say his name. Let's call him Reb Shmuel. And they say, "Where is our third brother? How is he? We have not seen him in many years." I don't know. Let's find him and see how he is. And they're curious to see what kind of a person is their third brother. Because Reb Zusha is a tzaddik. Reb Elimelech is a tzaddik. They have a special gift from Hashem to be tzaddikim. Real, true tzaddikim. And they wonder, is our third brother also a tzaddik? And so they searched all around. And they're asking, "Where is Reb Shmuel, our third brother? Many years have gone by, and we did not hear from him." They went from town to town, and city to city, and place to place. And finally they heard about their third brother, Reb Shmuel. He has a kretschme. He has a hotel. Okay, let's go see him in the hotel. and they dressed up like beggars. They dressed up like beggars so their brother would not recognize them. He probably would not recognize them anyway. It's been so many years. But they wanted to make sure. They wanted to see how he would be, how would he behave himself. They wanted to see what kind of a person he was. Is he from? Chas v'shalom, did he go away from Torah mitzvahs? Is he a Talmud Chacham? Is he a Tzaddik? What is he? They're curious. And they go to the hotel. And they see the hotel man. Ooh, that must be our brother Reb Shmuel. Look, he has a beard. He has tzitzis. There is a mezuzah on the door. Baruch Hashem, it certainly seems like he is connected to Hashem and Torah and mitzvahs.